All right, thank you everybody for being present here. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about everybody's favorite horticultural crop, corn. As it being an agronomic crop in the world that I live in Corteva and in controlled environments, we are growing these plants as horticultural crops in a greenhouse. So the talk is the effects of heat stress on greenhouse-grown maize pollen. So in the research pipeline that I work in every single day, we are shepherding these plants through, and we have to do a lot of pollinations. All the pollination is done by hand, even though it's a wind-pollinated crop, because we need to really manage the pollinations and have an accurate pollination from one plant to the next. That becomes problematic in the greenhouse sometimes in the summertime, because we get much hotter temperatures in the greenhouses we do out in the outside. Even though the maize doesn't seem to be affected by heat in the summer in the Midwest, when you add that extra heat in the greenhouse, it seems to have an effect. We have done some other research looking at tassel and silk quality of plants. We've done that with daily light integral, and I've presented that a couple years ago, of how daily light integral affects tassel quality. But we've never looked into heat stress, and there's lots of kind of gut instincts within our staff that when we have problems with tassel formation or pollen formation, that is related to heat stress. Basically, because we only run into this problem in this time of the year when it's really hot in the greenhouse in Iowa. But we've never really characterized it. We've never characterized the growth stage of the plant that heat stress is most affected. The tassel formation starts long before, several weeks before we ever see the tassel. So is that heat stress happening early in the production cycle, or is it happening when the tassel is actually present? Among our staff, we always thought the pollination's happening today, it's really hot. That was a general consensus, but we wanted to really characterize that. We've also never looked at what the critical temperatures are or the critical duration of that, and I'll get into that a little bit more later. So just to back up here on the photo. Photo on your right is not the type of tassel that you want to see. It's not a lot of anthers. Some barren tassels there compared to the one on your left. That's the type of tassel that we're really looking for. However, we'll see the tassel on the left in the summertime, but we still don't get a lot of pollen, or assumingly not very viable pollen. To get you guys up to speed a little bit on corn physiology, I definitely had to learn this fast as I switched from flowers over to maize. But we count the stage of growth in vegetative stages of V stage, and it's basically the number of leaves that are fully formed and collared around the stalk. So at V3, there's three fully formed leaves, all the way up to like V11, V12, and then as soon as the tassel is visible, that's VT, or visible tassel. So our experiment, we took two inbreds. We had an 18-hour photo period. Our DLI that we were delivering in the greenhouse varied between 20 and 25 moles per day, depending on the day in the wintertime. And our day-night set points were 25.5, day temperature, 20-degree night temperature. And then we would move these plants into a growth chamber that had an average daily temperature of about 92 degrees, 35 degrees during the day, 25.5 at night. And we put them in there for 7 days consecutively at different V stages, everywhere from V5 to R1. It says R2 on there, but that's a typo. We didn't go to R2. R2 is when you actually start to have pollen shedding. And then after 7 days, we moved them back into the greenhouse to a more normal temperature. And then we pollinated those plants by taking treated pollen, the heat-stressed pollen, to plants that were not heat-stressed, to those silks, and then vice versa. We took non-treated pollen to our treated silks. So that would give us an idea, is it the silks that are most effective, or the pollen that's most affected by the heat stress, or a little bit of both. And when we look at the results, we see here, I'm only going to show the results for one of the inbreds because the trend was basically the same. The highlighted ears here on the top are the plants that were pollinated with untreated pollen to treated silks. And when you look at it across the board, these are not hybrid corn, so these are actually pretty standard-looking ears, except for the far one on the right. The R1 plant. So we got a nice response there in silks. When we look at the data, there's a little bit of wobble in there, V6 or V5, V7, and R1, we saw a reduction in the amount of kernels per ear. Now, even at V5 and V6, it was statistically less kernels per ear. But for our metrics of what we're trying to get on a per-ear basis, 150 kernels per ear is enough for what we need to do for our purposes. So even though it's statistically less, it works for our purposes. It wasn't until we got to the R1 that we really saw a reduction. So it was effectively, in a practical sense, we don't see any real effect on silks until we get to that R1 stage. Now, when we look at our treated pollen, it's a much more dramatic effect. You can really visibly see that at V9, we start to see a drop in kernel count, all the way to V12 and R1, where we are having almost no kernel count. This picture is a little bit deceiving when you see the next graph, especially when you look at, particularly with V12. You see V12 that it's not statistically different from any of the treatments, and that's really because of our 10 ears that we had, like half of them had no kernels and half of them had some scattered kernels, so there's just a large variability within that treatment. So I would say in a practical sense that would not be a viable ear for us, but statistically, just because of the variability, it showed up that way. But you see that really strong response at V9 through R1 that it's really showing that the pollen is greatly affected by that heat stress. And it's really interesting because at V9, you still have probably 2 weeks before you're seeing even seeing the tassel. So that pollen is being affected, that development of that pollen is being affected that far in advance of even being able to visibly see the tassel. So when you look at all the pictures here, like I said, this is just one inbred, and both inbreds had generally the same trend. It was really nice to be able to characterize this. It kind of debunked some of our pollinators' thoughts that it was really the heat stress at that pollination time, that R1, R2 stage, that it's 2 weeks before we do the pollinations that we're starting to see the effect of that. So just to kind of wrap up the conclusions, we did see some effects definitely saw negative effects on pollen as we saw it from V9 on, and then some variable effects on silk, most notably at the end stages with R1, and it was most dramatic on that pollen. What this really means, the application for us to move forward, to be more successful with our pipeline, we could grow these plants in grow chambers. We have a lot of grow chambers at our facility, but we don't have enough growth chambers to dedicate to, the hundreds of plants that we're growing at any given time. But we can now predict when we might have problems. We can forecast, the forecast is showing that we're going to have really high temperatures for a week or more. And we know that anything that's V9 or older, we're going to have problems with our pollinations because of the pollens being affected. And luckily, you can get probably 10 or more pollinations from one tassel. So that means that we can just put a subset of our plants that are at that stage into a growth chamber and then get viable pollinations for the rest of our plants because the silks overall are not overly affected by the heat stress. So it's really enabled us to be much more efficient during the summer. you know, looking at the future, you know, we've characterized these growth stages that are affected, but we need to be next looking at the critical temperatures. You know, we had an average daily temperature of about 92 degrees Fahrenheit for our study. Like, where is that critical temperature that we need to be worried about? And then on top of that, what's the duration? We don't typically get, you know, 7 days straight of high temperatures. You know, what's that critical temperature, and what's that duration that is going to cause us to have problems? Those will be the next steps that we start looking into in the future. So I would like to thank both Robin Ball and Jim Llewellyn. They're people on my staff that really did all the heavy lifting on this. They were moving plants in and out of the growth chambers and doing all the pollination. They spent a lot of time doing this, and they did a really great job of it. And with that, I'll take any questions that you might have. Yes, sir. So the question is it the air temperature, what is the critical reading, or the
take temperature reading at the plant
at the different height of the plant, or
the tassel or at the silk?
So the question is, like, did we take temperature at the tassel or at the silk? No, we just did a general air temperature, and we had our data loggers about mid height of the plant, so a little bit above the ear, and like a foot or two lower than the silk or than the tassel.
That's what I suggest. Maybe if you can make a map and see if there's differences, because if there's a couple of degrees difference, maybe that's why you have variability.
Yep. That's a very good point. Yeah. Jorge.
What would you be a recommendation for a transformation pipeline where you actually get into the salt and you won't be able to have part of the growth
chamber? So the question is, Jorge is the ringer. He used to work with me, so he knows the pipeline. On a transformation pipeline, how do we manage that when we need to have plants all the time? Is that what the question was? So, like I mentioned with the growth chambers, like having a subset of those plants, enough plants to get all our pollination, so that we can get probably around 10 pollinations done with one tassel. So if we can get 10 plants, which doesn't take up a big footprint in a growth chamber, we can get 100 pollinations out of that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but the transformation pipeline, you need to do so at the same plant that is transformed.
That gets more tricky. Then it's a business decision of, you know, do we put all of those plants into a growth chamber and dedicate growth chamber space. So the question is, do farmers see a yield drop in this in the field because of the heat? And no, they don't. And I can speculate why. One being, these are inbreds, and what we have in the field are hybrids, so you have that hybrid vigor. And two, my speculation is that out in the field, the night temperature drops much more dramatically than it does in the greenhouse. We just don't have the cooling capacity to drop that temperature like what we see out in the field. Sherry? Yeah, so Cherry's comment was like maybe being able to use that growth chamber model in tomatoes, so maybe having some small subset of tomatoes that have the same problem to have those that pollination donor material for tomatoes or other vine crops. Thank you.